Banyagani, everyone. This is Professor Amin-Ra, Conscious Corner, along with co-host historian Joe Hembrick. We want to welcome each and every one of you that have come to participate in this cherishing and appreciation of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Holiday, as well as his accomplishments and achievements and contributions to the forward flow of Black people being able to flourish in ways in which without his struggle, his contribution to the struggle would never have taken place. We want to also say you came to the right place at the right time, because the Conscious Corner is a place where you come to get the truth. And we ain't going to tell you nothing but the truth. And so you're in the right place at the right time. We want to thank Brother Rashiki Maskani, who put forth this program, a platform for us to function as the Conscious Corner. We also have a community education network that comes on Wednesday. And these programs we've had some outstanding speakers throughout the year, and we plan to do it again, and we hope that you will continue to look in. We want to thank Brother Doctor, who's one of our outstanding supporters and listeners and contributors to the program with courageous questioning and discussions and contributions. And we want to also thank each and every person that chime in today. I know that there's a football game going on, but at the same time, this is Martin Luther King holiday. And we want to celebrate it by recognizing what would he be saying, what would he be doing, and what people should be doing in honoring his sacrifice for us. And we were just discussing things, and we're going to continue to discuss that. But any of you that's listening would like to make a comment, and we'll go around first and see if you want to make a comment about what your best thoughts are, what your best criticism of Dr. Martin Luther King's movement, leadership, and being an excellent human being, if you want. So we'll start with the good doctor. Good doctor, you have any comments about Martin Luther King?
You know what? Not right now, but I would make a comment because, you know, the little discussion you guys were having right before we went on air. I'm curious to hear what historian Joe has to say about that, because that's very interesting what he's saying and your comments back on that. And I think that's going to be a great discussion tonight, because I have some questions on that.
All right.
Questions on what we discussed.
you have a comment, Brother Joe?
Well, I was asking Brother Doctor, from his listening earlier, did he have any questions from what we were commentating on as far as that went?
Yeah, no, the question is going to be more of, because you said something about what his actions, what he did, about, you know, the actions that came about what he did. And my question is going to be to both of you guys. And it's going to be different between forethought and foresight, you know, because you said King did something and kind of like he didn't have the foresight to see what was going to happen, you know, in the future, which made it worse for us now, where Professor Ra, you know, said with the forethought that he was doing, you know, kind of like, well, how did you know? So it's going to be different between forethought and foresight. Give me the difference between that on MLK and his actions on what you were saying.
So you were talking about separation versus integration, I assume. That's what you're
correct, saying. Correct. Yeah, what the outcome was. Did he have the foresight to see that, you know, it was going to come about?
Well, breaking apart, what was that last comment?
Say, did he have the foresight to see that it was going to come about when, like you said, when everything came integrated, we lost everything. We lost a lot of businesses and all that. You know, was that, you think that wasn't his goal to make us lose all that, right? Or end up that way. He didn't have the foresight for that. He had the forethought of the planning, trying to make it better. But I don't think he knew the foresight, the outcome that will happen in the future.
Well, you know, if you read his works, get the name of the book that he wrote for his doctoral dissertation. I had to read it when I was in college. You know, he was following more of a, you know, Mahatma Gandhi type of strategy as far as, you know, Black people getting equal rights and whatnot. But getting to the points that we were discussing, me and Professor Ra, about separatism prior to King and integrationist movement, and I brought up the fact that, you know, Black people owned a lot of businesses, companies, you know, stemming from the era of Booker T. Washington, where, you know, Booker pushed, you know, Black people ownership at his Atlanta Compromise speech that he gave, when he said that as far as economically, we can be like a fist, but socially, we can be like the separated fingers on an open hand. And then all the white philanthropists gave all the money to Booker. So if you was Black, want to go into business and whatnot, you had to go see Booker to get the money, pretty much. And so, you know, during that time, you know, Black people thrived. We had brickyards, lumber yards, hotels, restaurants, all this kind of stuff, because, you know, we couldn't live around those other folks, which I don't want to live around them today. I wish I could go to some of these businesses of my own people. And that's all I'm saying. And then as a result of the integrationist movement and the Christian leadership and all of that, turn the other cheek and all that, while they bombing your babies and hanging you and whatnot. And Professor Ra will admit himself that we was kids growing up, we sure wasn't down for nothing like that. But anyway, you know, the civil rights movement evolved. The Voting Rights Act was enacted. Now it's trying to be taken away to this very day. And all I was pointing out is if King had a different level of consciousness back there as far as economics and self-reliance, if he would have said that we ain't gonna eat at no restaurants, we ain't gonna stay at no hotels that we don't own, we ain't gonna wear no suits that we don't make, we ain't gonna buy no coffins for our people that you hanging that we don't make, shoes, we ain't wearing the shoes unless we make them, and stuff like that, it could have been a totally different powerful outcome, which is the reason I was mentioning the other brothers who rarely get mentioned, which is Marcus Messiah Garvey and Malcolm X. Now, Ra asked earlier, well, you know, what were their accomplishments? Well, Garvey had international trade going on amongst Black people with the Black Star Line. They had these ships that were transporting goods. For those listeners who do not know, you could buy stock in the line. They would trade between Eastern United States, Africa, and the Caribbean. That's the trade they had going on as far as products. Then they had a lot of infiltration, like what they do all the time, and, you know, got a bunch of people in there that was crooks that kind of messed the whole thing up. But, you know, that was a great achievement on Garvey's part and his Universal Negro Association. As far as Malcolm, Malcolm built the nation. People in the nation don't want to admit to that because of the fallout, but prior to Malcolm coming on board, you know, the Nation of Islam wasn't nowhere near as large as it became after Malcolm, you know, put his, you know, footprint on it, so to speak. So we were just discussing those type of things, and I was just bringing up the point that I've been waiting on for the other two brothers to get their recognition that, you know, most African Americans failed to give them, like they do, you know, the brother, you know, Martin Luther King, which all three of them made sacrifices. And I hope I answered some of your questions there, Brother Doctor.
Doc, before you respond, I want to just say this. We have another guest on, Sister Joanne Perry Frazier, and she is alumni of Centennial, one of the premier persons in the CenterNets, as well as a successful business professional who has raised her children, and all of them are successful. And so I wanted to give her a chance to see if she had any comments about Martin Luther King. So Joanne, are you still there? You're on mute. You got your hand up. Okay, but that's all right.
I'm on mute, but I can't talk right now. So I'll talk later. How's that?
All right then, Joe.
Okay, thanks.
All right. All right. A good doctor. You want to respond to Joe?
Yeah. So again, my question now for Joe is, at the height of the movement, at the beginning of the movement, like I said, you're looking at the forethought, the thinking and planning. What was more important at that time, right at the beginning, what he was arguing for? What should he have been arguing for, or what was the most major thing that Blacks needed at that time? Because you just said, you know, don't wear the, you know, suits, we didn't make it, you know, and don't do this, don't do that. Was that the most important thing at the time? Because I don't know. So tell me, what was the most important thing at the time, right at the beginning of the civil rights for Black people?
Well, the thing is, when you mention the word civil rights, that changed the whole aspect of your question. When you put that on the tail end, you know, voting is cool, but this is an old argument that goes back to W.E.B. Du Bois and Booker T. Washington. This is the same argument about, you know, us thriving for economic development and whatnot versus, the political aspects. And as far as politics and the voting and all of that, it's necessary evil that we have to participate in, but I can't point out anywhere where we've come out as talking about Black people as a whole. I ain't talking about having no Black president. Because there's a lot more harm happened to us during others were, you know, as president. But anyway, what do you think we need more today, right now, Brother Doctor? You think we need more voting rights, or do we need, you know, some economic development? I know in the past you've always talked about the economic aspect and, you know, what we can do if get some brothers to put together $100,000 each and what we could do. Well, this is the stuff that I'm talking about that was being done prior to, you know, this integration Southern Christian Leadership Conference movement.
You know, that was my question. What, because you know, like you say, we're talking about King. I just want to know what was the most important thing at that time, because like you say, you're thinking he should have went a different way, or the actions that he did hurt us. So I just want to know, what was the most important thing that he should have done, or should have, you know, as a group, as a whole, that we needed? Was, like you said, we didn't need really voting rights. You know, we didn't need to be treated equally. What was it? Because I don't know. What was the most important thing that we needed back then?
Well, I guess it depends on where you were at the time, where you were living. What was your social economic condition? What, you know, where were you living at? Opposed to L.A. versus Selma, Alabama. You know, I can't answer that for everyone about what was most important, but I know we have acquired those things that he was inspiring Black people to gravitate to. So what has happened on the other end?
Let me chime in a little bit for just a minute. You know, Martin Luther King Jr. is probably one of the most prolific and most feared person by the FBI. What Edgar J. Hoover said, Martin Luther King was one of the most dangerous men at the time of his living. Martin Luther King was middle class. He came from a big church out of Atlanta and went down to Montgomery to take over a church. He had a car. He didn't have to fight for people to get on a bus. He fought for desegregation and the humiliation and the oppression of segregation. See, people look at integration as if there were no laws against it. You know, people mixed illegally. But, you know, they had black people in their houses cleaning it, and they were some interracial miscegenation and things of this nature, but there were actually laws that said black people had to give up their seat on a bus. You know how humiliating that is? There were laws that you couldn't drink from a fountain that white folks drunk at. There were laws that said that if you went to the movies, you had to go up into the balcony somewhere. There were laws that created the black businesses because black people were congregated among black people. So they formed their own businesses and communities because of segregation. What Kingdom was for was not against black businesses. They were against white oppression, and he fought against laws because white folks was doing stuff like immunity thing for police. That's why this man thought he could get away with killing George Floyd, because they've been killing black people all the time. Why are you mad now? You know, I mean, can't go back to Emmett Till, but even the Emmett Till killing, even the bombing of the churches, and even that. Here's a man that was arrested at least 7 or 8 times, put in prison. Martin Luther King, house bombed 5 times, different times. Character assassinated, spied on by the FBI. If, you know, to prevent him from being an effective person as far as his ability to mobilize people toward a moral and ethical agenda of equality, and that he said this: I don't want to be brothers with white folks by law. I just want them to be our brothers by brothers. That's a profound statement. The humiliation of the nonviolent movement as a tactic, as a strategy. That was the nonviolence in demonstrations and in protests. According to Kwame Ture, Stokely Carmichael, once they bombed King House a couple of times, he had a gun. King was born Michael King. His father was Michael King Sr. He went to Germany to visit Martin Luther Church. When he came back, they changed their names. He changed his name to Martin Luther from Michael King Sr. and changed Martin's name from Martin Michael King Jr. to Martin Luther King. That's how he got the name Martin Luther King. Second, you have to understand, as Doc said, the context. See, we can look back and say what plays he should have ran. But at the time that he was trying to get Black people to stand up. There were laws against them standing up for their rights. There were many people killed before King was killed behind civil rights. And some for just being Black. Lynching, murdering, denying them the right to vote, denying them the right to education, denying them the right to own property, all of those things. And this man stood up and paid the ultimate price. Now, when we were talking, you had mentioned some other people, not Malcolm and Garvey. And I asked you, what did they achieve? If you would have told me about Marcus and Malcolm, we most of us who are conscious celebrate them and recognize them. But on the level of King winning the Nobel Peace Prize, he became an internationally recognized person that was received by the international community for his work to lead a movement, a Christian movement. You gotta remember, the civil rights movement during King era was a religious movement. He used the churches. Now, the NAACP was still functioning. The Urban League became part. The Black Panthers came along in 1966. The US organization, the Black Liberation Army, there were a number of Black organizations that were doing different philosophies. Now, getting back to this business thing, a lot of the businesses that we lost, we didn't lose during Martin Luther King life. Most of them were lost. Motown sold their record. Motown, Johnson & Johnson Publications sold their. All the Afro-Sheen people sold their businesses after King was assassinated. Black people didn't move to East Compton or move to suburb areas while King was living. They moved after his death. That was in the 70s, the real estate people began to finance Black and white folk, white flight. Just go back to when Compton and Linwood, they were still segregated while King was living. Linwood was segregated and Watts was never a city. Watts was just a district, and it's still just a district. But the struggle is, we can't take away from Martin Luther King Jr.'s contribution as a role model, a Black man that didn't wear jerry curls or two earrings, who didn't participate in devilish behavior, running around with white women on both sides of him. He took a position. He was a father, he was a husband, he was a straight A student in school. He was skipped in the 12th grade. He entered college at 15. He got his master's degree at 19, was ordained a minister at 19. Got his PhD at 25. Won the Nobel Peace Prize at 35. I mean, I don't know. I mean, those are some profound achievements. Just building the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, the Montgomery Improvement Association. That inspired other Black people to get involved in the movement. Now, am I saying that he was the only one? No, you had C.C. Billiard, you had Reverend Shadrach, you had many Black ministers as well as activists that participated in the struggle. That's the only thing I'm saying. Now, Rashiki, you want to respond to anything or before Joe responds?
Well, Martin Luther King, I started learning more deeply about him when I was in your classes, Professor Rock, and the accomplishments. And I look at him as a role model as far as how to be a person, you know, how a person should be. And he was, like I think Joe was saying earlier, he was a great orator. He was an exceptional thinker. And when we look at things I think we just need to consider is that what back in the civil rights era, the Black Power movement, this is all created by this system, because we have to be able to fight against it. So you had to, people and their best information and knowledge had to fight the way they knew how to fight. I think King fought in the way he knew best. And then you had the Black Power movement. They fought in the best way they knew. And ongoing constant attempts to rid this system that we're in because of the type of system it is that has a thumb on people of color, especially Black people. And there's reasons for all of this. And so Martin Luther King is one of the people we could learn from and take the example that he provided for us and expand on that as individuals and as a collective. To talk about him, you know, integrating and yeah, of course, when we integrate in a society that doesn't want us, it's going to be, you know, difficult. And the laws that he fought against, you know, great accomplishments in getting things, you know, turned. And then Brother Joe mentioned that, you know, the voting. Yeah, we're having issues with voting because this system is constantly finding ways to eliminate us and really don't want us. And we're used as what they intentionally use us for, slavery. You can see it throughout sports and, you know, as the media daily. We're these people that want to be, you know, recognized as people, but this society don't want us, you know, to be those people that's equal to them. So when I think of King, I think of an exceptional person, somebody to study and to grow from. We need to grow from King and look at what he did and his accomplishments. And we look at that and learn from it and take the mantle and start doing things to rid this system. I mean, we're like Brother Doctor always say, we're, you know, things are not going to change. And he's correct in saying that things are not going to change until we do something about it. So, I mean, I admire King. And all of his accomplishments and his leadership, and we need to study him and become a student like he was of life. So that's just a few things I was thinking about.
Well, Joe, you want to respond?
Maybe the sister's ready to.
Joanne, are you ready? No, not yet. I don't think she's ready yet. But go ahead, Joe.
CP, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm preparing my mom's meal, but I'm listening to you guys.
So okay. Go ahead, Joe.
Well, you know, I'm not taking away from the brother's accomplishment, I kind of can't agree with the mindset that he went along with. For example, his father, you know, going over to Germany, wherever it was, to, you know, change their name to a man of a, change their name to a European man. I don't know what's up with that. But if they'd have came back with an African name or something, then I wonder how the story would have went. And my thing is, as long as you, you know, just like the Atlanta Compromise with Booker T, if you go along with the parts that they want you to go along with, you'll get their backing, you'll get their money and all that. Just like a lot of people don't know, Elijah Muhammad was getting money from the Ku Klux Klan because he was talking separation. So whatever the European mindset is that you identify with, you know, they'll promote you. They'll kind of back you. As far as, you know, the civil rights movement and what was going on back then, I have to take the view of Malcolm. You know, Malcolm wasn't about civil rights. Malcolm was talking about human rights and taking America to the United Nations behind human rights, you know, about the right to be a man on this earth, in this society, in this day, and which we intend to bring to existence by any means necessary. You know, and opposed to the Christian thing of turning the other cheek and letting them lock you up and all of that. I don't know. I just couldn't be with that. Still not with that. And that's just me. That's just my opinion. I don't have to be right. I'm just giving a historical perspective on things. And as far as the economic situation, you know, there's a lot that we need to be doing, you know, but us doing it ourselves and not looking for money from, you know, outside entities like the government. Well, it's enough Black people right in the Western Hemisphere and on the planet to get it done. But anyway, you know, the brother accomplished some things. He was a great orator. I just wanted to give credence to the people who laid the foundation, you know, before he stepped out there, like Vernon Johns and some of William Blyden and those radical ministers of the 1880s, which King's father probably was hip to. You know, King's father was one of the first Black people that the government started to spy on, was Martin Luther King's father. So I can imagine what he was going through as a kid, knowing that, you know, eyes was on his dad. His dad might have been doing. But anyway, that was it. I don't want to take away from the brother. I just like the other two brothers to get more acknowledgement outside of the conscious community, because that seems to be the only ones that do, you know, honor them. But when it comes to King, it's more than just the Christian community, it's the conscious community also. So that's my only point.
And there was two parts to the Black liberation movement. There was the civil rights movement, and there was the Black nationalist movement or Black cultural movement. They both were complementary to each other. They were going at the same time. And people could choose which one they want to go with. At the time that King introduced nonviolence as a tactic to move towards desegregation and breaking down the laws and exposing the hypocrisy of America to the world, turning water holes on children violating the basic things that they go around saying that they're trying to get other countries to do, and they're not practicing it. This was a very unique. At the time, you know, nonviolence is something that we try to tell kids today. Don't fight in school. Don't fight your brothers and sisters. Don't rob and steal and from your community and burglarize your brothers and sisters. So we teach nonviolence towards ourselves and towards our property and personal thing. They were dealing with nonviolence as a strategy for, and they weren't the only ones had strategies. There were still those that were fighting armed struggle at the same time that the movement. Your biggest rebellions were at the height of the civil rights movement. 1965 Watts Rebellion, New Jersey, Detroit, Chicago, all of them were doing this, the nonviolent. King had to go out and ask them, would y'all stop? You know, I mean, then they weren't fighting each other. They were blowing up the cities and burning down the cities. So to think that King was the only movement, no, there were a lot of Black people. There were a lot of Black businesses flourishing. Sepia, Ebony, all of them were doing that thing on a national level, but local businesses, you know, and you still have some small Black businesses. The challenge is the consciousness of people to try to buy businesses and make those businesses have a standard of service, you know, because the barbershops are still there. And some Black people are doing nails and hair salons. So there are still some small petty businesses. Corporations and expansion are a part of COINTEL program to suppress. They suppressed King's radicalism. You know, King talked a lot of hardline Black positions at times, also in some of his speeches. If you listen to him, you know, he said, hey, here lies a Black people. You know, and beat when he spoke to those young people in Memphis, I believe it was, saying, get a blueprint for your life. And you are somebody. Don't let nobody take that from you. That's radical talk. You understand? At that time, if King was not effective, they would not have him assassinated in prison. And what about the lady that stabbed him, a sister? I mean, he said if he breathed, he would have died. I mean, this is why they celebrate him. They celebrate him because, first of all, his speech at the March on Washington was not, I have a dream. His speech is America wrote a bad check. Mahalia Jackson asked him when he was coming to the end of his speech, tell him about the dream, Martin. They got this all on tape. And then he added it. He put his speech down. George Ravlin got a copy of it, of his notes, of his speech. And then none of it had anything about a dream in it. They want to reduce King to a dreamer instead of an activist. He dreamed. No, he was an activist. He was a strong actor. Listen, I learned to admire him because I know how much strength it takes to be nonviolent, not to respond and to organize people as a strategy and as a tactic, to ask them to put their lives on the line and put your own life on the line with these vicious people that he was up against. If you look at some of the marches and the white people that were lined up taunting them, I mean, James Meredith was walking by himself almost, and they shot him. And then King them led a demonstration. That's how the Black Power movement came about, the March Against Fear. they were up against stuff that in the Deep South, you know, it's easy for us in California, what, you know, yeah. But if you're living back there, where they find black bodies in on trees and in swamps, and that's never been solved in the courts. It was, you usually could travel to the South and you're gonna get a ticket. They had to follow the man all the way to the courthouse to pay the ticket. And I mean, it's just the discrimination and the racism was way more than what it is that you see today. Now, black people, many black people want to integrate if they can. There's still a lot of white segregated places. You know what I'm saying? Redlining and all kind of stuff you can't buy in that day. But black people like to, you know, say, I'm, you know, move. You know, that's a choice. Your choice to move in a predominantly white neighborhood and things of this nature. That's a choice if you can get in and if they let you in. But my point is that in celebrating King, as Ozzie said about Malcolm, as you, we're not just celebrating King, we're celebrating the best in ourselves also. This is a man that is quoted, revered around the world for his efforts to humanize, arguably, people that may not be capable of being humanized. But he tried, you know. Doc, you want to respond?
It's interesting what you were saying, you know, but go back to Brother Joe, you know, like he just said, you know, you made one point earlier, you know, depend on where you were at, what you needed, you know, Roski point out something I was saying, you know, ain't nothing going to change. And it's what Joe said, because everybody has different needs, you know, civil rights movements. I want to kind of compare it, make it, because, you know, I'm more in the finance, kind of make a comparison. You know, what they fought for, the civil rights that we gained back in the 50s and 60s is just like, you know, you can put the money terms. You know, if I have $100,000 a day back then, it was worth $1 million. I think the civil rights that, you know, they fought for us back then now is not worth as much as it was. You know, not worth much as it is now, but was it compared to back then? So, you know, we were talking earlier before going on air. That's why I don't think is that, you know, the day, the holiday is not that important anymore, because it's not valued anymore as much as it was valued back then. Like I said, compared to money, you know. But you and Joe made some good points. It's a lot of thought you got to give out to, like you said, you know, if you want to fight, what, like I said, fight, what's more important is it more important to be able to ride anywhere on the bus, to have the drink at the same fountain, or is it more important to have your own stuff, your own bus, your own fountain? You know, it's hard to say. You know, King fought what I think what he thought was important back then. For his time, what he thought, and like Joe said, some other people thought other things were important. And until we come on that common ground, we can come to one common need, everybody can get on board. I think nothing's gonna ever change, man, because we're all gonna have our, you know, different means. Like now, like we was talking about business, Joe brought up, you know, business. I'm lucky that I've made some good investments in the past, just lucky. I made a lot of money, I lost a lot of money. When I've been there with people that want to go in business and, you know, we're going to go here, buy this business, go with five other guys. I show up and no one else shows up with the money. I'm sitting here with the business owner, waiting to buy this business and no one else shows up, you know, with their part. You know, we all see things differently. And I think that's one of our main problems. We just see everybody has a little different opinion on things, man. And I don't think that's why, I think that's why nothing's going to ever change, man, for us. We get these little small victories here and there, but for the most part, man, we're always going to be like this, man. We're always going to have these little struggles because we're not all on the same level. We all don't think it's like. It's just like you said, Professor Rock, people, some people just want to be liked by white people. That's, they just want to be liked by white people. And like Joe, brother Joe, man, I'd rather give me, you know, I'd rather be able to do my own thing. I don't need to be liked by them. Just let me have my own way, my own thing. And we have those differences, so nothing's going to ever change, man. So.
Well, Joe, you want to respond?
Well, Doc, I've been hearing you say nothing that was going to change on quite a few shows. I just like to hope something can change, but I know what brings change is what goes on between them two ears, you know, as far as our people are concerned. And as far as the businesses go, I know exactly what you're talking about. I just had a bunch of work done on my house. I was taking bids from people. And, you know, the job ran into several thousand dollars. So I got a couple of Latinos came through and gave me a quote. A couple of brothers was supposed to. They never showed up. And I ended up going with this Asian guy. I watched them with my own eyes do a neighbor's property, which convinced me about them. So I hear what you're saying on that. That's a part of our character and integrity that we need to straighten out. And I think that stems from, you know, the plantation. Basically, you're talking about the field Negro versus the house Negro to a degree, you know, wanting to be liked and, you know, naming yourself after them and wanting to live where they are and not wanting to be around your own people. So we have a ways to go. I'm still hopeful. It might not happen in my lifetime, but if I keep, you know, sowing the seeds that I sow, and showing Black people that it was a time where you did, you know, farly exceed, you know, where you are today. You know, you ran the world, you ran countries. You were the first one here before anybody else. You know, and if we know our history, and, you know, when the Europeans say go back to Africa, say we came here before you. Why don't you go back to Europe? You know, but when you don't know, they can sway your thought processes, and that's all I don't know, King held up. I know I don't want to deal with the man's integrity or whatnot, but as far as how righteous he was and all of that, there's another spin on that. I can't verify it. It's just talking in movies and in a couple of books, the same sort of spin that was kind of not like Elijah Muhammad, but in a different perspective as far as being this righteous man. But anyway, you know, everybody got a little something in the closet. I'll give him credit for being the greatest orator of his century. And you know, he fought for what he believed needed to be fought for, and others fought for what they feel they needed to fight for. And it just goes to show, like, all this stuff been happening over the last few years of killing all these Black people in an ultimate thing with George Floyd and then the Black Lives Matter movement going internationally. And I remember Malcolm used to say, the only place you get justice is in the street. And those street marches brought some limited amount of justice, although we know it's still going on. They're still knocking us off in the North and the South. I want to end this with, like Malcolm used to say, you need to quit talking about the South. So as long as you're south of the Canadian border, you're south. The stuff that happens to our folks. So anyway, I just hope the other brothers that are not on a national scale can be, at least by our people, known on a national scale, so that we can see into all of their outlooks and what they were about and what we can use that they were implementing at the time that they were here. So that's it.
You know, there's been a lot of good changes. To say nothing changed, the fact that some of you are prospering economically is a change. Many Black people didn't have that opportunity. The other thing is that when you look at Black voting, I mean, Black people played a major role in the last election. It's not just the one for Obama, but if it wasn't for Georgia, flipping the House to Democratic control in the Senate, and that was Black people, South Carolina with Black people voting, where for years in South Carolina, they wouldn't even let them vote. So that's a change. More Black people registered to vote than in history, and a lot of them participate in fighting for the right to vote because it affects them locally, not just in national elections. School boards and college boards and supervisors and mayors. You got Black mayors now. You got Black Congress people. In 1970, there wasn't but, they said 300 Black elected officials. Now you got 3,000. That ain't a lot, but it's progress. The same thing with housing. I mean, at one time, Black people couldn't move where they wanted to move. They had it in Judge Rehnquist, a Supreme Court justice and chief justice, when they was evaluating him to be considered for the Supreme Court. They found out that in his deed of his property in San Francisco, don't sell my property. This was in the contract. You can't sell my property to a Jew or a Black person. But he still got elected to the judge. You got to go back to a lot of these court rulings, Supreme Court rulings, that affects us. We have to participate because we live here. And black people suffering is a global thing. So wherever we suffering, we should be concerned. They say, depends on where you at. If a Black person is being abused because they're Black, then we should always be concerned and be always involved in seeking justice and fair treatment to our people, my brothers and sisters. So housing, Black people living in Brentwood, Black people living in Woodland Hills, Black people living, I ain't saying they should be, but that's their choice. If they want to go there, the white man can't say you can't come here because you Black. You don't want that. That's like you going into the market to buy something. They say, we don't sell to Black people. You'd be very upset about that in California. You don't want no laws that limit you in your, it's like, Black people fought to go to Vegas where it was racial discrimination. They fought to go lose their money. They fight to put some things, it's just the right, to do it. If I want to go lose my money, that's okay. Don't tell me I can't go do that. And have fun losing it. How economics, look at the laws they had to break down to keep for fair employment. equal opportunity, manpower development program. That created a black middle class. Black people with college degrees in the 50s and prior to the civil rights movement had to work in the post office. They broke the barrier. When we was coming up, most of our teachers were white. And the ones that were black got most of their education from black schools. They came out the movement. They were church schools, most of them, and land grant schools. To say that there's no progress and no change, that's incorrect. There is progress and there's always change. You just got to struggle for it. Is it all that we want? No, but you got to keep struggling. It's a protract. You struggle. People struggle so that we can live better. Your parents struggle so that your children can live better. I mean, that's just an evolution. They're going to roll them back. Yeah, they're going to roll them back. They're going to do that. They did that to Hades. They do that to black people. Yeah, they do it. Their law. I remember when Bradley was running for, when he was mayor, and they wanted to desegregate bus people to school. And they said, well, what do you think about it? He said, well, the law said that we can bus them. The next year, the white folks passed the law and said busing was illegal. So they go back to them and say, well, the law says busing is illegal. So that's what they're doing right now with the courts and stuff, trying to pass laws to suppress and subvert elections. Because people are voting and people, they wouldn't work that hard against you. Okay. Economic education. I mean, I'm against black people accepting the Rhodes Scholar. Cecil Rhodes killed a lot of black people in Africa. Joe know that. They named the country after him, Rhodesia. People got liberated. They changed the name to Zimbabwe. But the point is, you know, black people, you know, they get a scholarship. They can go to anywhere they want to go. But they chose to take the Rhodes Scholar to go over to London, to go to Oxford or somewhere to get educated. Blacks in the military. Some fought hoping that that would change these people. So there has been change, different strategies. You know, Malcolm said, as Joe said, we have to fight on all fronts. Malcolm and King was coming together after Malcolm left the nation. They had a couple of meetings. Matter of fact, Malcolm went over to the jailhouse where King was being held in a little small jail town, and they had upstairs, and they were yelling out the window toward each other. There's a lot of research that we got to deal with. And I'm just saying that I know I changed as a human being from street and madness and become more ethical and more principled. So, each and every one of us probably have a track record of change. As we get older, we get more sensitive, we get more spiritual, we get more responsible. When we're young, we didn't care what we did because we were looking at immortality. We weren't thinking about death. We didn't have no kids when we was in high school, most of them. So we wouldn't think about nobody but ourselves. But once you get older, you get married, you have kids, you just say, I got to be here for my children. I got to be here for our future. And so the struggle is a continuous struggle. Martin Luther King's birthday should be a sacred day. Even, you know, I mean, people fought for it. Stevie Wonder, thousands of black people marched in the snow in D.C., and they got it. You know, there was no Martin. You wouldn't be off today. It wasn't for struggle. Struggle. There's no remedy for our problems other than struggle. Martin Luther King struggled. His sacrifice was the ultimate sacrifice, just like Jesus. Jesus could have said, look, God ain't my daddy. Get me off this cross. I was just tripping with y'all. But he took a position on it. They didn't call it suicide. They called it sacrifice. You can't say Martin Luther King was assassinated. He was, he sacrificed. When you say he's assassinated, you're putting it in, they did something to him. No, he knew. And Malcolm knew. They had a conversation. We both are dead men. Because they know the viciousness of this system. That's bravery, brother. But once you get in it, you can't get out of it. So, I mean, I respect everybody's opinion. But to me, integration, if you want to integrate, if you want to marry a white woman, if you want to, and a white woman want to marry you, that's on y'all. You know, it was a little independent decision. What I'm against is people passing laws that prohibit anybody from flourishing and living a good and meaningful life. That's all. You want to respond, Joe?
Man, this dog is going off. Maybe somebody else can chime in. I'll get back. Somebody's out front here.
Okay. Anybody, Rossity?
Yes, I'm listening and taking it all in. Definitely, if something is going to change, my coach used to say, "If it's to be, it's up to me." So people have to make stances and evaluate things and do things that's going to better themselves and in their environment. So, you know, again, I take Dr. King's example and I want to mimic some of the things that has done in his life and do the best I can to contribute to the dismantling of a system that's not just. So I'm on a life mission to improve myself and my environment. And
you know, yeah, some of the things that like integration and that could have contributed to some negative aspects of the Black experience or Black progress. Yeah, the European can turn it around anytime he wants. But the strategy was to make life better for Black people. The purpose, the direction was to make life better for Black people in this country and in the world. We can debate about all the other things, but that was the goal. There were different strategies by different groups. Martin Luther King was the most prominent. And he had problems with Black people against his movement. That's what his Birmingham jail letter was about. That's what he ran into when he went to Chicago. Black people, that's where he got stabbed. That's where Black people were against him coming in, telling him he shouldn't come to Chicago. They got all this documented. It wasn't an easy struggle. It wasn't like everybody was following King. You know, it doesn't go that way. But you have to admire. And he wasn't just a speaker. He was an activist. They want us to think of him as just an orator. No, no. It was the results of his speaking that was powerful. It galvanized thousands and thousands of people. And he used the white man religion against the white man. Joe, you want to respond?
Well, you say that like it wasn't his religion also.
He claimed it, and he was a minister.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you got to tell the truth. It wasn't easy, yeah. I mean, he believed, you know, he practiced it. He came up, as most young people is, their fathers were ministers, they become ministers. Almost, that's the way it goes.
Yeah. sorry.
You know, as far as his faith, you got to admit that he practiced it. And it took to get people to do what he asked them to do. Whew, boy, that's a lot.
Yeah, I understand it's a lot. And I kind of threw with my commentary on that this evening. You know, the political thing necessary, but you know, when it comes to politics, just like in the words of our brother Kaleem Akil, come to politics, truth ain't nothing but a word that rhymes with baby Ruth. You know, we've been swindled by black politicians. I know right here where I live, we got a problem with this fracking, this slant drilling that they wanted to do. And the one black politician is up in Sacramento now. He refused to vote on the issue because he was told if he did, they was going to run somebody against him to defeat him. So he sold us out for that. And that fracking, it's dangerous stuff to be going up underneath these properties and whatnot, causing some real issues. But that's just one example of, you know, the political stuff and how stuff goes when it comes to politics. But anyway, you know, the brother got his just due, and I just hope the others can receive the same. But
in many ways, a lot of people honor Malcolm X. May 19th, there's an effort to make to get Garvey's pardon. You know, I mean, they tried to get Obama to do it, but he wouldn't do it. There was an effort to get a pardon for Marcus Garvey for no trumped up charge. Many black people, there's still people that recognize that call Garvey Queen Mother Moore. We had Marcus Garvey's son at Compton College, 1992. Or 91, at a black consciousness conference at Compton College we put on. We had Marcus Garvey's son come, and he was trying to revitalize the Universal Negro Improvement Association. And so, Garvey did a lot of good things. Malcolm did a lot of good things. We built a BSU at Compton College based on Malcolm X's album, Ballad to the Bullet, and Malcolm's speech to the grassroots. I mean, me, Earl Frazier, Joe Frazier, Michael Daniels, Walter Taylor, Marla Maru, or something, she went to Compton High. We all formed it. The first BSU at Compton College that led to the first black president of Compton College, Abel Sykes. You think they appreciate that? No. But we didn't do it for them to appreciate it. We did it because it was the right thing to do. And I'm just saying that, you know, I've been in this struggle a long time and fighting for black people, handing out food, doing all kind of stuff. Brother, it ain't easy, brother. It's not easy to be to get people to see their role in the struggle. You know, I mean, if you told me grown men would be walking around with two earrings on and fighting for mirror space and getting their eyebrows done and eyelashes on, I mean, I can't get disappointed. I can't stop the struggle because of a few that choose to live their lives the way they want to live them, you know? What can you say? You just keep on, you keep struggling. The struggle is for human and social justice. Not just in America, but in the African diaspora, wherever Africans are, you understand? We are, you know? They're my brothers and sisters. May they be in Brazil, may they be on the continent, may they be on the islands, wherever black people are, them are brothers and sisters. ethnic, racial brothers and sisters. Doc, do you have any closing comments?
No, you made some good points. I think I would just like to say, you know, and I feel like I'm going on the Brother Joe side, but sometimes, you know, we think changes happen for the best for us, but then you got to look at it. Is it best for us or best for them? I mean, all the civil rights movement, everything that just passed, who benefit the most? Them or us? Who's still making the most money? Who's still controlling all the businesses? Yeah, we got a little victory, but you know, you got to look at it. Did they make those changes for us to better themselves? Or, you know, or did we really get something to better us? Was this all done for them or done for us? In my opinion, this all was done for them. They came out ahead of all the civil rights movement. They came out ahead. They still got everything. They still laughing all the way to the bank. So, you know, yeah, we, like I said, we get a little small victories here and there, but, you know, when they enact laws and give us a little something, you have to think about it. Are they doing this to better themselves? Because like I said, it comes down to, like I said, the beginning, forethought, the foresight. They have the foresight. We have the forethought. You know, we're in the now, you know. You know, we think about now and they think about the future. I think everything that we accomplished, they saw that coming, knowing, hey, giving them this because it's going to benefit us in the end. You know, and so like, didn't contribute tonight.
I'd like to make a comment, chime in on what Doc was saying. And this is this. You know, when you talk about economics and our people in the diaspora, you know, Black people, you know, we make about 1 billion people on this planet. Okay. And the European is just a perfect. And if you consider the fact that we have that many people along with all the natural resources that these other folks are getting rich off, Europeans for a few hundred years, not an Asian is moving in on it. All of these resources come from the motherland and Africans don't control it. So with the people we have, the resources that we have and the ground, and the amount of technology that our people have from different educational experiences and military and science and the space thing and all of that, if we had a mindset to be putting us first in what we do, taking some from Trump, you know, we could blow the lid off this whole thing. But like I said, it all stems from what's in between them ears. And that's the reason I promote what I promote, just to show our people there was a time that we've done it. And you know that if you did it once before, you can do it again. And that's all I want our people to see. And I don't want to take away from anybody's accomplishment, Black folks, especially King and others. So, anyway, that's my spin on tonight's show, and I hope, you know, somebody can take some from it and do some research and just to see and verify what I've been saying about us. Know thyself. It all comes back to that all the time. But anyway, want to thank all the participants tonight. Turn it over for a final thing from Professor Ra. And I hope everybody got something out to show this week.
Well, I just want to say that Martin Luther King is honored with a great deal of recognition and appreciation for his contribution and his sacrifice. And we should look at his holiday as beautiful as we look at him. It was something that Black people fought for. And in 1986, Reagan signed it. It's a beautiful thing to know that some of our people appreciate the struggles that many of our people have participated in. Everybody don't struggle for human and social justice. And they have the right not to. But when you're out there and they bombing your house, threatening your kids, lynching your relatives, trying to get you on financial stuff, bugging your hotel rooms, criminalizing. We're gonna have to have a show where we really get down and discuss things that we've experienced individually in the movement. The contradictions are monumentous, our own and the people we follow. So I'm just saying that, you know, I'm not saying King was flawless. Abernathy wrote the book and tried to say that he thought Martin Luther King was messing with a woman and all that type of stuff. And then he said, but I was drunk and all that. But the people who published the book wanted to say that it was that he witnessed King adultery. But you read the book, 80% of the book is about the civil rights movement. About one page is about Abernathy and King in the hotel and things of this nature with this woman who came to meet with King. And it's just pitiful. But I mean, he was assassinated twice, physically and character-wise. And people are still trying to assassinate his character and then blame him for other people's behavior. I don't know how you do that. You raise your kids and your kid go out and rob and steal somebody. And although you giving them money, put them in school, and he went to college and he robbed somebody. And then they say, well, you're responsible for it because you raised him. No, you're not responsible for your son's behavior if he does that. You didn't teach him to do that. And King didn't teach people to move. And he stayed mad at a black woman. He raised his kid. He didn't teach them to run away and use drugs or sell drugs to each other. He didn't do that. That's individual's choice. What we're talking about is structural change, systemic change. And there has been. Or we wouldn't even be on this show if it wasn't for change. Because we got the ingenuity, we got the knowledge, we got the wisdom. Well, black people would have got killed for even having a program like this in the 50s and in the 40s. And we can get up here and we can try to talk about some black people. Some listen, some don't. Some care, some don't. But that's the struggle, to win the hearts and minds of our people. And as I said, I didn't appreciate King when he was living, but after I studied and read about him and then saw his sacrifice, and then I said, boy, he was a strong person, a brave person to do the things that he did at the time that he was doing it. And I want to thank everyone for listening and wishing you a happy MLK Day, a blessed MLK Day, a beautiful MLK Day. I want to thank my sister Joanne for chiming in. I wish more people would have. But we got to build this. We got to build this program. And I got a feeling this time next year, we're going to need a bigger platform. So, Brother Rashiki, you want to tell them about what's up for Wednesday? And any other comments you want to make?
Yes, sir. Appreciate everything you said this evening, Professor Roth. Excellent commentary by Brother Doctor and Brother Joe Hembrick. So we got Dr. Mike is back. I think this is his fourth visit. And the topic is Back to the Future. Do we need to go ancient or modern as a people? So I think this is going to be a good discussion. And we should get a lot out of it. So looking forward to it. So anything else you want to say, Professor Ra? I'm done.
No, just Joanne, are you there?
I'm here. This is just the time that I spent for my mom. So I apologize to you guys, but next time I'll be able to speak. How's that?
All right, then. And we deeply appreciate you chiming in. And I'll give you a call. I'll give you a call tomorrow.
Okay. Thank you.
All right, then, Joanne.
You guys have a wonderful evening. Okay.
All right.
You also. Okay, so Conscious Corner, each one teach one.
There you go.